And I hope we have with us on the phone Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Ilana, and how are you?
I am good. How are you?
Thank God, good, and I hope you had a good Pesach.
Yes, we did.
That's beautiful. Oh, it even wants to play some music, too, in the background. It's good.
Yeah, sometimes it's good. Yeah, but we'll wait for that. So, first of all, we have Yom HaShoah approaching us.
Which is coming up this Sunday.
Yeah.
So they have the big Yom HaShoah ceremony, which is very nicely attended by all walks of life of the community.
Yeah.
Which is at 7 o'clock at the Shaar HaShemayim Synagogue. I encourage everyone to really come, participate, show the survivors, not that many that are left, but the ones that are there, still a few, that we're here, we're all together, we're united, we come to honor you, the loved ones that have passed in the Holocaust, and I think it's an aspect of solidarity. And I encourage everyone to go. It's a beautiful event, and it's a something that I think is very, very important in today's world that we're living in.
Definitely.
So that's again at 7 o'clock on this Sunday evening.
And from year to year, we have few less and less and less people that can talk.
Correct. They have a speaker coming in, a Holocaust survivor is going to be speaking.
Yeah.
And
his name is Andy Retty, and he's a Holocaust survivor. He's the keynote.
Right. So you know, it's a beautiful thing, and I think it's important for everyone to come.
I agree.
So this week is Parashat Shemini, and we see in this week's Torah portion that on the eighth day following the 7 days of the inauguration, Aaron and his sons began to officiate as the Kohen. And we see that, a fire issues forth from God to consume the offerings on the altar, and the divine presence comes to dwell in the sanctuary. And who are the two elder sons of Aaron, which is Nadav and Avihu? They offer a strange fire before God, which he commanded them not to, and they die before God. And we also, you know, we learn in this week's Torah portion, God commands the kosher laws, identifying the animals that species that are permissible to us, so on and so forth. We also learn about the ritual purity, including the purifying power of the mikvah, mm-hmm, the pool of water meeting specified qualifications. And we see that finally at the end that the people of Israel are enjoined to differentiate between the impure and the pure. Now, you know, you go and look a child. A child's emotions are really straightforward. When a child wants something, he wants it fully. When a child hates or fears something, the emotion fills that person, the child's heart completely. And as we mature, however, our emotions become more complex. We want something, but at the same time, we are capable of realizing the downside of achieving it. You know, we desire the piece of chocolate, but we detest its calorie count, so we might not have it. We may dislike to work hard, but we feel satisfied when we're done. We can love certain traits in someone while hating others. But as we mature spiritually, our emotional complexity develops further. As the great holy Zohar says, that weeping is lodged in one side of my heart, and joy is lodged in the other side. So we may be saddened because of the state of the material being, but at the same time we can rejoice about the state of our spiritual soul. Sometimes physically, we might not be getting, you know, everything that a person needs, that we think so, but the state of our spirit, of our soul, in a spiritual sense, is okay, is doing well, is on a high level. On what was the most emotionally intense day of his life, Aaron, the high priest, was called upon to exhibit extraordinary emotional maturity. Why? Because we see something, as we'll talk about in a second, something that was so interesting, so strange. It was the greatest part of his career. The Mishkan, the portable temple, was finally complete. The 7-day of inauguration period had passed. And for the first time, Aaron, the high priest, was performing the priestly service, causing God's presence to descend and finally remain here. As the verse says, and fire went forth from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat upon the altar. And then all the people sang and so on and so forth. And yet, just a few moments later, Aaron suffered the greatest tragedy of his life, which was his two sons dying. And Aaron's sons, as it says in the verse, Nadav and Avihu, each took his time, put fire in them, and placed incense upon it. And they brought it before God, foreign fire, which he had not commanded them to do. And the fire went forth from the Lord and consumed them, and they died before God. Now Moses turned to his brother, Aaron, and instructed him to put his personal pain aside. This was a joyous day to God. And Aaron and his remaining two sons were to serve as representative of all the people. And therefore they were called upon to experience the divine joy. Even though he just lost his two sons. And here's where the story gets complicated. Because Moses found out that one of the offerings that was meant to be eaten by Aaron and his sons was burned. And what do we say? We see in the verse, Moses was furious. He asked Aaron, he said, why did you not eat the sin offering in the holy place? For it is holy of holies. And he was giving it to you to gain forgiveness for the sin of the community, to effect their atonement before the Lord. That's what the verse says. So what does that mean? Moses was asking, why haven't you eaten the offering? Why could you how could you have placed your personal mourning ahead of God's joy? You didn't eat the offering because you were sad that you just lost your two sons. How can you do that? So Aaron responded by explaining to Moses that the correct thing to do was to eat some of the offerings, the ones that were unique to that day, and to burn one, the one that would be offered on a regular basis. Which means the verse concludes that Moses listened and it pleased him. So what was Aaron telling him? What was so pleasing? Because Aaron taught Moses a very important lesson. It is relatively easy for the spiritual speaker to ignore himself and devote himself completely to the divine reality. Forget about everything materialistic, forget about everything in this world, to do everything that is a spiritual sense. It's very easy to do that. However, that is not God's will. Because the correct spiritual path, argued Aaron to his brother Moses, is to spiritually mature enough to experience both perspectives. Because Aaron understood that a relationship with God does not mean suppressing our own sense of reality. What does it mean? It means being able to balance and experience God's reality as well as our own. It means being able to burn some of the offerings as an expression of personal pain, yet eat other offerings as an expression of divine joy. God wants you to have both. God wants you to be able to have the concept of the spiritual sense as well as the physical sense. And just to say, how can you do this? How can you burn all the offerings? You should have been eating everything, even though he just lost his two sons, and he should put all that pain aside because the greatness of God's joy is better. Aaron was teaching, even Moses, the greatest leader who was on a spiritual sense, needed this lesson to be told. That God wants you in order for you to be able to have a spiritual, correct growth and path. You need to be mature enough to experience both the spiritual and the physical, and that the physical becomes part of the spiritual. And that was an important lesson that Aaron was teaching Moses. And that's an important lesson that we, as human beings, can all learn, that even though we're going to be in a physical sense, and we want to become sometimes spiritual, they both go hand in hand. One has nothing to do with saying, well, I'd be all spiritual, I can't have anything physical, or the other way around. That's not the way God wants us to live in this world, because God wants us to elevate the physical and make it spiritual. And if I'm going to detach myself from everything physical, how am I going to make it something spiritual? And that's something that is very important that we can each of us take and learn in our daily life.
Yes. And Rabbi, what about services?
So services we have Friday evening is now starting at 7 o'clock. And Shabbat morning is 9:30, followed by a Kiddush. And Sunday is at 8:15, followed by breakfast. And Monday and Thursday is 7:15, where you're out by 8 o'clock. A good way to start off the day, and a good way to start off the morning.
It is, and I want to wish you a Shabbat Shalom and happy and safe weekend.
Thank you, you as well. And as they say, happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday.
All right, be well.
Thank you.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Bye-bye.